This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. One not so visible issue during the campaign trail in the lead up to G14 is discrimination faced by people with disabilities. My guest today, Ng Lai Tin, is a project officer at the National Early Childhood Intervention Council, or NECIC, a coalition of parents, practitioners, and professionals from NGOs and government agencies, calling for the new administration to embrace the concept of an inclusive Malaysia. Inclusion, of course, is the idea that people with disabilities should not face discrimination, be it in formal schooling, employment, or healthcare provisions, among other things. Lai Tin, thank you very much for being here. The NECIC would like to see the new government reconsider some of the current practices and services for children with disabilities. Can I get you to explain why? Are we previously on the wrong trajectory?
The main thing in the current practices in Malaysia regarding to people with disabilities and also children is that it is still very largely segregated, meaning usually the services are not designed to meet the needs of the children. So over the years, so many years, we've heard so much about the children who are not getting the quality care, the quality education that they need, and this is actually making a lot of parents and children frustrated with their situation, and of course that doesn't benefit the children with disabilities at all, because they have so different kinds of needs that are unmet. So if I may draw an example from the education system.
Of course.
Most of our children are educated in special schools, and even in special schools, we still get stories that their children are not getting the kind of engagement and meaningful participation with the current curriculum, or some of the teachers are still not meeting the needs of the children for various reasons. So, yes, basically, at the end of the day, we think that it is the right of children with disabilities to be educated and to receive the kind of health care and social care that is rightful to them.
One of the recommendations that NECIC is putting forth is that you want preschools and kindergartens to be more open to accepting children with disabilities. So why are they not doing so at the moment?
For one, there are no policies in the country at the moment that says that children with disabilities can enter into mainstream schools, and for younger children, preschools and early childhood care settings. That's one reason, but the more common refrain that we always hear is that teachers feel that they're not confident to meet the needs of the children. One reason can be because they are not trained in supporting children with different learning needs, which is why they think that most of the teachers think that children with disabilities should be educated in a separate or specialized program, and this result is actually reflected in the UNICEF Malaysia's study in Knowledge, Attitudes and Practices for Children with Disabilities in Malaysia study.
On the broader note,
yes.
Do you think the Pakatan Manifesto is one that embraces the spirit of inclusion?
What we think is very encouraging is that they are trying to transform the education system into a more flexible one, more responsive to students. So we are feeling that we are very encouraged by that direction. It's just that we still need more clear policies and practices, and to look into reforms of structures and processes for children with disabilities.
One process that you'd like to see be done away with is how we measure the school's performance according to the National Achievement Key Performance Index.
Yes.
Why is this a flawed way to go about measuring our school performances?
As most people might comment on, is that our key performance index for schools is still very much focused on academic achievements, ranking-based systems. So in terms of inclusion, that doesn't really gel that well. Because once we focus on academic success and ranking-based systems, you're actually leaving a lot of children with diverse needs or children who need a lot of support in education. So when teachers are not encouraged to do their best in catering to the students' learning needs, then the teachers are, their attention and their energy, their attention and their time are taken away by expectations to bring up the academic scores of students, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Some of the reservations that you mentioned earlier about how teachers feeling ill-equipped to teach or interact with children with special needs, is this because, is that why you are also advocating for more people to go through disability awareness training? Like, on the scale of things, are we more ignorant or are we insensitive as a society?
I would say because if you look at the history of the Malaysian society, especially in terms of the disability community, they are largely segregated and not very visible in the community. When we don't have examples or when we don't have positive experiences in interaction with people with disabilities, it's very difficult for us to know how can we respond or socialize together with them. That also kind of contributes to the insensitivity or the lack of awareness that you mentioned about.
Yeah, a lot of this is also to do with because they're not visible, whether it's in the workplace or in schools, as you mentioned, or in the media.
Exactly.
Is this something that can be, rectified or corrected through policy? Or is this something that requires more activism on the parts of parents or family members of children with some form of disabilities?
We think, all of us at NECIC think that this is actually a collective effort of the society. Of course, the policy has to come in where it doesn't penalise people for making adaptations for the disability needs. And also from parents and children, because they know very well what they need, how they can be supported. So they are a very, very prominent voice in terms of advocacy for better and more inclusive environments. And as well as those of us who don't have disabilities, it's very important that we support them and that we go out and talk to them, engage with the families and the children and the people with disabilities to understand what are the barriers that they face, what they would like to see changed, or what are their hopes and dreams for themselves.
On NECIC's part, how would you be going about lobbying the government or advocating for this inclusion agenda?
Yes. So we are trying to get in touch with the ministry to talk about making education, inclusive education, especially real for all children. We hope that we could dialogue with the ministry as well as Ministry of Health, Department of Welfare, Social Welfare, to talk about more inclusive approaches and designing from the beginning whatever systems there is for children with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. So one recommendation that was also put forward by NECIC is the lowering of fees for rehabilitation services. Is this something that is fiscally or financially sustainable? Are there countries that we can look to emulate in terms of lowering the fees because families from disadvantaged backgrounds would not be able to afford some of these services for their children?
If you look at the UK and also the Scandinavian countries, they have universal, and especially the Scandinavian countries, they have universal and free education. Let me draw the example from UK. So they have an act or a policy for children with disabilities, something called Education, Health and Care Plan. So the EHC plan in UK has fund allocations for children with disabilities and their families. And the families do have a say in how they want the fund allocated to them to be utilized. So if the parents think that at the point in time, speech therapy is the priority for the child, then they will use that fund to get the services that they need. So on that front, it's funded for the family by the government. I think Australia right now is is transitioning to that kind of system as well.
So it's more targeted rather than a universal lowering of all services?
We still think that there needs to be a universal lowering of services because the care of a child with disability, the cost is really, really, really very high. Most families, if you think, if you look at the Malaysian median household income, it's not enough to obtain the kind of services that the child needs on top of their own family expenses. So there needs to be a regulation of the fees. And at the same time, there needs to be more trained speech therapists, occupational therapists, and other related rehabilitation services, in especially in the government hospitals, because right now there it really is a shortage. And because of that, a lot of families are not able to get the kind of services for their child, especially timely therapy services for their child, so that the gaps in terms of development can be reduced at a timely manner.
Lightin, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me today.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to VFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.